This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
When you have great coaches, then after you have great coaches, you get great players, you have a great organization, and you tell them one thing. Just win, David.
Let's go, Raider Nation, and welcome to Just Pod Baby with your host, Evan Grover, your home for Raiders news, notes, and information. Find us on the Silver and Black Pride Podcast Network, brought to you by SB Nation. Give me a follow on Twitter at egroat5 and stay up to date with all the latest Raiders news over at silverandblackpride.com. My guest tonight is Eric Bacharach, Titans beat writer for the Tennessean. All right, guys, feeling a little under the weather this week, so I'm going to try to keep this short and sweet if I can. I was listed as questionable for the podcast this week, but I wanted to make sure that I at least got something recorded for you, even if it was just a brief episode. So I appreciate you guys hanging in there with me. We're going to start the show tonight with some thoughts on that smackdown that occurred last week in Kansas City. That's two games in a row now. The Raiders were embarrassed in two real big games. As bad as things were against the Chiefs, I felt like they were a bit more competitive than they were against the Jets, which is hard to believe. But to me, the turnovers were the killers, especially, you know, those turnovers early in the game just really put the Raiders behind, you know, the eight ball, as they say. When you turn the ball over three times in the first five possessions of the game, you're going to have an extremely difficult time winning the game and even being competitive in the game, especially when you're on the road in an environment like Arrowhead against the Chiefs. It's just not going to happen for you. I gave you my keys to the game last week on the episode, and I had to laugh as I was watching the game because I'm watching this game unfold, and everything I mentioned as a key for the Raiders in the game just did not happen. I mean, everything did not, you know, everything went the opposite. They did not get off to a good start or an early lead. They were playing from behind to start the game, which is, you know, just not the way this team is built to play from behind. That, you know, they want to establish the run with Jacobs and that's how they want to play. So just not a good recipe for the Raiders. They lost the turnover battle, which again I thought was a key to the game, that they had to win the turnover battle. And Josh Jacobs did not get that 20-plus carry, so that tells you right there that they were playing from behind. He didn't get the at-bats that he needs. From an offensive perspective, it was just a really poor performance once again, just like it was in New York. I don't think Carr played very well, although the final numbers may have looked okay. They were a bit inflated on that final drive there, or the scoring drive that the Raiders did have. He was 7 of 8 passing with 70 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, some garbage time production there. But, you know, I can't put it all on him. I don't think the receivers did him any favors. It's very simple. The guys just were not getting open. It's really as simple as that. There is just, they do not have anyone right now that is a threat. Hunter Renfrow, when he went out with that injury against the Jets, he was really developing into Derek Carr's go-to guy, you know, definitely on third downs. So you take him out of the mix, and there's just nobody there. Tyrell Williams has been a complete disappointment. After a really good start to the season, I thought, that injury has really kind of derailed his production. A few weeks ago, I was hearing a lot of people, or saying, oh, the Raiders need to use one of those first-round draft picks on a receiver. And I wasn't so sure of that. This was a few weeks ago. Well, guess what? I'm on board now. I'm definitely thinking that with one of those first-round picks, wide receiver would probably be a wise move to make. I've heard a lot about CeeDee Lamb. I don't know if he'll quite fall to where the Raiders may be picking. I think they're picking, as of right now, middle of first round. Both their pick and the Bears pick are kind of middle of the first round. But I would be completely on board selecting a wide receiver in the first round. I know this is a deep class for wide receiver, but they got to bring somebody in. There's just a huge lack of talent there right now. And when you think about it, think about this. Going into training camp, I know personally myself, when you look at the roster on paper, I remember thinking to myself, wow, look at this group of wide receivers they've put together here. It was one of the deeper positions on the roster, and now it's just a complete mess. And, you know, obviously they lost Antonio Brown, and Tyrell Williams was kind of forced into that number one wide receiver spot, and that's just not that he just is, he doesn't, that's not his role. He's a complementary wide receiver. He's more of a one trick guy. He's kind of a deep threat. It's just a mess. And, it really makes it difficult to evaluate Carr. I think that's a big thing that you're hearing as of late, especially is, he's so polarizing. It's either you love him or you hate him. And of course, we're always, myself included, we're always kind of evaluating him. And I think it makes it very hard to do that right now with the lack of talent that he has to throw the ball to. I think we got to be fair in our evaluation right now. As far as the defense is concerned, I do want to talk about their performance a little bit. I thought they did some good things throughout the game. I think they did a nice job of getting some stops in the first quarter while the game was only 7-0. Even when it was 14-0 at times, I thought they held their own. They did what they had to do to keep the offense, give them a chance. Heck, even when it was, if you recall, after the Carr pick six, the Raiders' next possession, so it was 21-0 at that point, the Raiders got the ball back, and if you recall, that drive resulted in a missed field goal. Even after the Chiefs took over, the Raiders forced a punt. Now, it was just before half, but even so, I mean, they did enough, I would say, in the first half to get the ball back to the offense to give them an opportunity. But again, those turnovers were killer. So when you look at the score, you see 40 points, and automatically you think, wow, the defense gave up 40. But I thought, again, they did what they had to do to give the offense a chance, but it just didn't happen. Now, the area of concern that I have for the defense, in Sunday's game with the Chiefs is with the third down penalties. I believe it was four times. And I actually, if you read my stock watch article this week, in the stock down, one of the three stocks that I have you avoiding this week was the Raiders discipline on third down. So I'm just going to kind of take a look. I have the article right here in front of me. Starting with the opening drive, it was third and three from the Oakland 7. And if you recall, Benson Maioa, he was flagged for an offsides. So they got a stop on third down, but they were given another play because of the offsides. And the next play, Patrick Mahomes threw a touchdown pass to Darrell Williams. So there's 7 points. Then you got midway through the second quarter, while it was still 7-0, the Chiefs had another scoring drive that, again, was aided by a defensive holding penalty, which occurred on third and long, third and 11. And that was the defense would have forced a field goal on that play, but there was a holding penalty call. I don't recall who it was on, and that gave the Chiefs a fresh set of downs. So two plays later, Mahomes, he ran it in from 13 yards out. So, now we're talking 14 points that were, as a result of the penalties on third down. And of course, who could forget Tyre Whitehead's getting flagged twice on the same play. That was a third down, if you guys remember. It was third and 11. Again, third and long. He jumped off sides, and then he continued on and knocked Mahomes down to the ground and picked up an unnecessary roughness call. And the Chiefs didn't score a touchdown on that play, but they ended up getting a field goal. So now we're talking, 17 points off of third down penalties. And then the real kick in the groin was Trayvon Mullen's interception in the end zone, which, again, was on third and eight. And you thought, oh, great play. And all of a sudden, the play's being reviewed by officials in New York. The play was not flagged on the field, and Gruden had a major problem with that, which does seem kind of crazy. I mean, the officials on the field aren't calling the penalty, but some guy sitting at a TV in New York is calling the penalty. So I don't know. But, the Chiefs, there was defensive pass interference called. So the interception was nullified, and the Chiefs were granted an automatic first down. In the next play, LeSean McCoy scores from 3 yards out. So what is that? 24 points off of penalties on third downs. So now that's a big factor in the game. As well as I thought the defense did, there were just too many self-inflicted wounds by the defense. So, where do the Raiders go from here? That's kind of where we're at right now. Back home, that's where they go. They're going back to Oakland, back to the Coliseum to play their final two home games ever in Oakland. So the place should be rowdy. I'm hoping that really inspires the team to want to, send the fans of Oakland and, send them out in style. So I'm hoping that inspires the team to really to play hard. They desperately need these two games. They desperately need these games to keep the pulse alive for the playoffs. And home has really been good to the Raiders. 5-1 if you count the London game as a home game, which, technically it was. And this one is huge because despite what's happened the last 2 weeks, they're still in the mix. And Tennessee is also a team who is in the hunt for the wild card. So this game could play a role in the tiebreaker scenario if it comes to that. Tennessee they're hot right now. They're rolling. Ryan Tannehill was inserted as the starting quarterback after a 2-4 start to the season with Marcus Mariota under center. They're 5-1 with Tannehill. They've won 5 of the last 6 games. The Titans, they're a very good team. They have a big physical running back in Derrick Henry, who I think is really flying under the radar. I consider myself a pretty good football fan. Obviously I follow the Raiders more than anything, but I play fantasy and all that. I didn't even realize until I looked it up, Derrick Henry's 3rd in the NFL in rushing. I mean, the guy's having a great season. I knew he was having a good season, but I didn't realize it was a great season. Their offense goes through him. That's what they want to do. Much like the Raiders, they want to establish their things, the run game on the ground, and they want to beat you up in the trenches. On defense, also very good. They give up less than 20 points a game. It's in top 10 in the league. They have a great young pass rusher in Harold Landry. He's got 9 sacks. Logan Ryan is a great corner. He's having a great season. So the Raiders, they're going to have their hands full. No doubt this week, they're going to have their hands full. But one good thing that Raiders have going in their favor, unlike the Chiefs, the Titans are a team that Derek Carr has had some success against in recent years. He has a 3-0 record against them. It seems like they play the Titans every year, doesn't it? Is it just me, or does it seem like every single year they're playing the Titans? It's strange to me. I think it's, 3 out of the last 4 years? But they've had some success, and he has an touchdown-to-interception ratio of 6-1. So that the numbers are good for Carr against the Titans. Hopefully that continues. So that's kind of where we're at right now. Got to take care of business at home versus the Titans, and cross your fingers that we get some help with the Steelers' loss. If the Raiders should win this week and the Steelers lose, they play the Cardinals, then the Raiders are back in the playoffs. They would be back in the playoffs as the final wild card spot in the 6th seed. So, that Steelers game is 4:25 kickoff. They are playing in Arizona, so that's definitely a game that I know that I will have an eye on. Okay, I'm going to step aside for a moment. After this quick break, I will take a look at Friday's injury report.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, we're back here on Just Pod Baby with Evan Grote, and I have the injury report in front of me here. The Friday Week 14 injury report, we will start with the Tennessee Titans. They do have four players listed as out. I'm going to start with linebacker Darren Bates. He's a former Raider, special teams guy, big part of what the Titans like to do on special teams. He is out with a shoulder injury. So, hey, all three phases, right? So anytime you lose somebody who's a major component of your special teams, that's never a good thing. And the Raiders need all they can help they can get on special teams because, they've just been terrible. The return games have just been terrible for the Raiders. Wide receiver Adam Humphries, who is their slot corner, so he's now out. And that's a big loss. That's a big loss. Anytime you lose a starter on offense, that is a big loss. He's played in 50% of the snaps. I believe it will be Tajay Sharp is the replacement for him. also out is, they have two cornerbacks that will be out this week. Adoree Jackson, who I believe he plays in the slot as well. He's got a foot injury. And he's played quite a bit this year as well, 67% of the snaps. And the other corner that is out this week is LaShawn Sims with an ankle. And I believe he was not a starter, but playing, you know, quality snaps with the injury to Malcolm Butler. So they're going to be down a couple corners in the secondary. So maybe this is a game where that passing attack for the Raiders can kind of get things going again and get back on track. Other than that, that's all you got for the Titans. Now we're going to talk about the Raiders injury report. And I'm sure you saw it if you follow on Twitter. The big one already listed as out for the Raiders. And when I say big, I mean literally and figuratively. That's Trent Brown. This is a huge loss. He's out with a pectoral injury. And, he didn't practice all week. So, this guy's just been banged up all year. I mean, he's been listed on the injury report every week with some sort of injury. This one's a new one. It was the knee. Most of the season. Now he's got this pectoral injury. I listened to Gruden's press conference today. He was non-committal on what he thought the chances of Brown being available next week. He wouldn't even talk about it. So maybe this injury is a lot more serious than what we know. So keep your fingers crossed about Trent Brown returning. Pray to God we've got Brandon Parker starting at right tackle on Sunday. So I don't know what's going on. I know David Sharp was the swing tackle a couple weeks ago. I know he also has kind of battled some injuries, but was active, I believe, last week. He's healthy. He's not on the report, but it looks like Brandon Parker has kind of leapfrogged him on the depth chart for the swing tackle role. So maybe he's shown some things in practice that we're not aware of, but I would be concerned. other players listed as out for the Raiders, obviously we know Hunter Renfro. I did hear Gruden say some positive news about Renfro, hoping to get him back for the Chargers game, which would be week 16. So it does seem like there is a chance that Renfro could return from that punctured lung and broken rib injury. The other player listed out for the Raiders is Kyle Wilbur. He has a ankle injury. So again, he's more of a guy, a special teams player for the Raiders, and occasionally you'll see him, in sub packages at linebacker. Josh Jacobs, of course, was also listed on the report as he continues to battle that shoulder injury, which we now know is a fractured shoulder because he posted it on social media. I mean, that guy's as tough as nails. Fractured shoulder? My gosh. So he did not participate, though, Wednesday, Thursday. He's being listed as questionable. I would expect him to go. I think the Wednesday and Thursday did not participate was more of a planned thing, just trying to, limit him a bit in practice and kind of take it easy with him. So other than that, it looks like everyone seems to be in good shape. So that is your Week 14 injury report. When I'm returned from this quick break, I'll be joined by Eric Bacharach, Tennessee Titans beat writer for the Tennessean.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
On the line with me now is Tennessee Titans beat writer for the Tennessean, Eric Bacharach. Eric, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thanks for giving me some of your time. Now, it's been a really interesting season for the Titans so far. They didn't get off to the start that they were hoping for, but as of late, they're really rolling. They've won 5 out of their last 6 games, and things have really started to take a turn for their season when Mike Vrabel decided to make a move at starting quarterback, and he inserted Ryan Tannehill, I believe it was Week 7, into the starting lineup.
Right.
What has Tannehill been able to do that Marcus Mariota was not able to do in those first 6 games?
Yeah, it's been wild just sort of how this offense has gone from one of the worst in the league to right now they're scoring close to 30 points a game since Tannehill was named the starter for Week 7. And I think there's a few things that go into that. I think number one, Tannehill right now is just playing with a lot of confidence. He has been since he took over the role. I think he's done a really good job of being poised in the pocket. It never really looks like he's worried back there or has a lack of confidence with the throws that he's making. He throws into tight windows. He's been incredibly accurate. I think one thing more than anything that stands out is his sort of decisiveness with, the throws that he makes, just the decisions he makes when he, looks to throw, looks to run. And that was really missing from this offense with Marcus Mariota under center. They just had no semblance of confidence. There was no, if they fell behind, you just never felt good about their chances to come back. With Tannehill now, you kind of feel like they're never out of it. And, the formula has been kind of, run the ball with Derrick Henry, get him going. Obviously, he's kind of gone off these past few weeks. He's led the league in rushing in each of the Titans' last 3 games, averaging over 160 yards on the ground in the past 3 Titans games. So it really does still all start with Derrick Henry. And I think, everything kind of builds off from there. Ryan Tannehill has done an incredible job of cashing in on play action. And, again, that goes back to sort of defenses loading the box and, expecting Derrick Henry or at the very least the threat of Derrick Henry really helps open stuff up for this offense. And, again, that was missing, through the first 6 weeks of the season, because the Titans had to throw and they weren't able to do it that well with Marcus Mariota. So, I really think that the pass and the run are sort of complementing each other right now. And really what it's boiled down to is just both of those things working in harmony. And, the Titans are now scoring close to 30 points a game. So everything going right offensively right now for the Titans.
Now, I know Tannehill is kind of a mobile quarterback. Is he doing some damage with his legs as well?
He is. He's a guy that played a little bit of wide receiver back in his college days. And, we're a long ways from there. But, he surprised a bunch of people here with just how athletic he is. There's been a couple plays where, he'll roll out and if he doesn't see anything downfield, he takes off and, can really do some damage. He's had a few rushing touchdowns that have been big plays for the Titans here. So, he's certainly not, just a one-dimensional threat. He could burn you with those legs too if you're not careful about him. So, he's got that going for him as well. So, he's really sort of a dynamic threat back there.
Now, you talked about the Titans run game a little bit with Derrick Henry. They do rank 8th in the league, averaging 125 yards a game. And, in the NFL right now, you have a lot of talented young running backs, Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, Zeke Elliott, Christian McCaffrey. But one of the guys who's kind of unheralded right now is Derrick Henry. He's quietly becoming one of the better running backs in the league. I saw he was third in rushing. I didn't even realize that, to be honest with you, until I went and looked it up. Why is it that he's had so much success this year?
Yeah, you know, I think if you look early in the season, I think he was running efficiently, but he wasn't putting up sort of the eye-popping numbers that we're seeing now. And that, again, kind of goes back to just sort of the dysfunction of the offense early in the season, you know, in the same way that the pass was complementing the run and vice versa. Right now, it kind of was working just in the opposite way earlier in the year with the pass unable to get anything going. You know, defenses were really able to slow Henry down. But, you know, I think the major thing right now for the Titans is that their play calling is really emphasizing what Henry does and, you know, giving him the ball no matter the game situation. And I go back to a few weeks ago when the Titans were playing the Chiefs. They were trailing in that game by 9 points in the fourth quarter, 29-20. You know, so in a situation like that, you're tempted to throw it a lot just to sort of get back quickly. The Titans had a 10-play drive, a touchdown scoring drive that got them to within 2 points. And on that drive, on that fourth quarter drive when they were trailing by nine, they ran the ball 7 times with Derrick Henry. So, you know, it's that type of being patient with the run and really sticking with Henry that has gotten them to this point, because, you know, Titans fans have been sort of shouting that since week one. He is their best offensive player. You know, we saw last December when he ran for 625 yards across 5 games, you know, beginning with the 238-yard rushing performance against the Jaguars that also featured that 99-yard run. We saw Derrick Henry's potential at that point. You know, I think one of the emphases is this offseason was just sort of, or the questions rather, was can he keep that going? You know, maybe not at quite at that ridiculous a rate, but can he carry over what went well toward the end of 2018 and keep that going in 2019? And for the most part, that held true through the first part of this season. Again, he wasn't you know, rushing for 100 yards every game, but he was efficient. He was doing damage. But now that the pass is working, now that the Titans are sticking with the run, no matter the situation, you know, they're staying patient with it. Henry's getting the carries that he needs, because he's a guy that, you know, the more he gets it, the better he gets. He gets better later in games. He's really good from carry number 15 onward. You know, so if he's getting upwards of 20 carries a game, you know, usually you're in good shape. And for the Titans, that's been, you know, an important part of the recipes for success of late.
Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, I don't follow the Titans real close, but one of the things that they've lacked in recent years is a threat at wide receiver. Now, I know they drafted Corey Davis in 2017 with the 5th overall pick, and, you know, I believe he's kind of, the jury's still out on him, I guess you could say. And then they spent a 2nd round pick on A.J. Brown in 2019. So he's actually having a pretty good rookie season from what I could see, 18.4 yards per catch. Talk to us a little bit about the Titans wide receivers. Is there a guy that Tannehill kind of leans on a little bit more than others?
Sure. Yeah, I think everything you said is actually spot on. You know, for the Titans, really the one position that they've had very little luck in through the draft has been wide receiver. You know, you could go back years and years at that position, and Corey Davis was, you know, a number 5 overall pick in 2017. You know, so to say he hasn't fully lived up to expectations to this point is fair, because, you know, if you're drafting a guy top 5 at his position, you want more production that you've gotten out of Corey Davis. He's, you know, he's done some stuff well. He's a really good blocker. But again, you know, when you're drafting a guy number 5 overall, you're expecting, you know, a Julio Jones type guy. And Corey Davis has certainly not been that. You know, I think a lot of it also is kind of what's going on around him with the offense, but he just hasn't fully developed into the guy the Titans were hoping they would get. And you know, I still think there's room for him to grow. And I agree the jury is still out on him, but to this point, I think it's fair to say he's underwhelmed. A.J. Brown kind of really burst onto the scene for the Titans, and he's kind of quickly lived up to sort of his billing. You know, he's a guy that they drafted out of Ole Miss and was super productive in college there. I think the Titans were kind of probably felt fortunate that he was around when they were picking in the 2nd round. And you know, he's developed into, you know, a really big sort of game changer for them. I think he's got 4 or 5 passes caught that have gone for maybe 45 yards or more this season. And so many of those long passes have come after the catch where, you know, he's kind of shown his strength, his speed. He's really a dynamic threat for them. And you know, he's shown some star potential. So I think, you know, he's definitely a guy to watch. He's a guy that, you know, Titans fans are very optimistic about because, again, they've struck out so much at wide receiver in the past that, you know, he's a guy right now that you know, you could really sort of look to and think he's going to have a bright future in the NFL. You know, Titans also have Adam Humphries, although he will not be playing this week. He's dealing with an injury, and he has been ruled out already for Sunday. So that is significant. You know, even though he hasn't been exactly lighting up the world, he's still, you know, a big threat out of the slot for the Titans, and he's played well since Ryan Tannehill has taken over. And obviously, you know, at tight end, they're missing Delanie Walker, who's out for the year, but Jonnu Smith has been a fairly reliable tight end, pass-catching tight end. They also have Anthony Firkser, who's got a really good set of hands at tight end. So that they've got a, you know, a decent sort of stockpile of pass catchers. But again, I think with this offense, everything goes back to Derrick Henry and sort of what kind of stems from his production and what he's able to do and just the threat that he is.
Tennessee Titans beat writer Eric Bacharach on the line with us, giving us some of his time. I'm going to shift gears and jump over to the defensive side of the ball now. We're going to talk a little bit about the Titans defense. It's really interesting when you look at the numbers for the Titans defense. They rank seventh in the league in points allowed, only giving up, you know, 19.5 points per game, which is pretty good. But they rank in the bottom half of the league when it comes to yards allowed. So is this one of those cases of a bend but don't break style defense?
That's exactly what it is. You know, they bend often. You know, we see long drives that go all the way down the field, but, you know, then they're able to clamp down. And you know, this is a team that last year kind of had a similar makeup when you look at, I guess, just statistically, you look at the yardage versus the points scored. They're really good at keeping teams off the board, you know, whether that's, like you said, bending but not breaking down in the red zone, preventing really big, you know, plays to go for scores. And they've also been pretty good about turning the ball over and forcing turnovers. You know, so I think all year long the defense has been the strength, even though that's kind of, you know, a weird twist. It's kind of shifted where the offense is right now, you know, doing a lot of the heavy lifting. The defense has just been steady all season, you know, was steady at the beginning of the year. I think they've held 8 or 9 opponents this season to 20 points or fewer. You know, so that's a really big number for them, and it's been kind of a hallmark of Mike Vrabel's team since he took over as head coach last season. They're just a really sort of disciplined, sound football team. Not a ton of star power defensively, but, you know, you've got Kevin Byard at safety. You know, he leads the NFL in interceptions since the beginning of the 2017 season. You've got Jarrell Casey, four-time Pro Bowler, defensive tackle, anchoring that defensive line. You throw in Jeffrey Simmons, a rookie first-round pick out of Mississippi State. And then, you know, you look elsewhere in the secondary, you got Logan Ryan, Kenny Vaccaro. They're just a very sound team that, you know, might not be the flashiest in terms of names, but, you know, they just get it done, and they're really good about keeping teams off the scoreboard.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. Titans are among one of the best teams, or among the best teams in the league when it comes to takeaways with 19 on the season. They have a +5 turnover differential, so that's definitely an area where you know, it helps keep points off the board. When you look at the Raiders' offense, I'm sure you've had some time to kind of take a look at the offense leading up to the game this week. Is there a player or a matchup in particular that you believe that the Titans coaching staff is, you know, a little bit concerned about?
Well, I mean, I think obviously the obvious one there is just sort of Josh Jacobs. I know, you know, that their offense kind of runs through him. And I think it's kind of been interesting to see that even when the Raiders struggle, Jacobs still, you know, is productive and gets his yards. And, you know, that's certainly been a focus for the Titans this week, and it's obviously really impressive that he's doing everything he's doing while injured. You know, I think that is really impressive, and that's, you know, obviously something that the Titans have to hone in on. But, you know, I think Darren Waller is arguably going to be one of the tougher tight ends, one of the best tight ends the Titans have faced this year. They did face Travis Kelce earlier in the year, so he's probably number one. But listen, Waller might be number two, and I think that's a matchup that the Titans, again, like Jacobs, they've been focused in on all week. They at times struggled against tight ends. I think Kelce, in that game against the Chiefs, that Patrick Mahomes threw for over 400 yards. So, everybody kind of did well in that game, but they did find a way to win that game in the end. So, I think Jacobs and Waller, just like any other team that the Raiders face, I think for the Titans, those are two guys that they're really honing in on.
Now, I do want to discuss the injury report. I have the Friday injury report here in front of me. You already mentioned Adam Humphries was listed as out. There were a couple other guys who were listed as out. Linebacker Darren Bates, I believe he's a former Raider. He's more of a special teamer. Adoree Jackson, he's been listed as out, as well as LaShawn Sims. Can you just tell us a little bit about their roles? I guess I know that Humphries and I think Jackson are the only two guys that actually start. Who's the next guy up for the Titans?
Yeah, well, I mean, as you mentioned, Darren Bates is a special teams specialist, and he plays an important role there. He's, a important part. He's, a captain-like guy for that unit, an important part of the special teams unit. And then you've got LaShawn Sims, who, was playing an important role with Malcolm Butler, placed on injured reserve in November. So, that's another key loss. And that's compounded with the loss of Adoree Jackson this week. So they are thin at cornerback this week, as they were last week. So that they signed earlier this week, they signed Tremaine Brock off the Cardinals, who was released on Monday from the Cardinals. Veteran guy, 10-year NFL veteran. Who they're able to bring into practice this week, get him caught up to speed quickly, and throw him in there, because as I mentioned, they are thin at that position. And then losing Adam Humphries is obviously significant. He's a big part of the offense. Was signed this past offseason, but some of the pass catchers that I mentioned will have a slightly increased role. We'll see if Tajay Sharpe's role increases. He's a wide receiver that his done fairly well in spurts with Ryan Tannehill under center. And also Khalif Raymond, he's the last receiver on the depth chart, had caught a 40-yard pass for a touchdown that kind of sealed their win over the Colts last week from Tannehill. So he's a guy that, has a ton of speed and can sort of take the top off the defense. So maybe he gets, a couple more looks this upcoming week.
So just let me make sure I understand this properly. Was LaShawn Sims was a starter once Malcolm Brown went out? Or Butler, I'm sorry, Butler.
It would have been Logan Ryan and Adoree Jackson with Sims as the number three cornerback. But, just with the way the Titans play, he's, he gets a ton of snaps in that defense. So it's a big loss. And again, you compound that with the loss of Adoree Jackson. They're down to Logan Ryan, who is playing at a Pro Bowl caliber level this year. So he's right now he's the number one quarterback. You also have Ty Smith, who had a really big game this past week, returning a kick, the kick that Dane Grubschink blocked on a field goal for a touchdown. So they are thin, but yeah, Sims was in a prominent role in that secondary.
Okay, interesting. Good information there. Last thing I want to ask, I always ask everyone I interview this question, the last one, is just give me a game prediction. Do you have a score that you think might occur?
I think I said 30-27 Titans. I think we do predictions every week. I believe that's what I said or wrote in our story, prediction story. I think it'll be a really tough game for the Titans. I think, a lot of fans here are looking ahead to the Texans in week 15, and then they play the Saints, and then they play the Texans again. So twice in 3 weeks they play, the team leading their division, and it's easy to look at those three games and overlook this one. But obviously this one is just as important as those. There's a ton on the line when you look at the wild card and the implications there for the Titans. And I know the Raiders have been really good at home this season, 4-1, in Oakland. It's a long trip for the Titans. So I think it's going to be a tough game. The Raiders, like the Titans, kind of have their backs against the wall. I think it's going to be sort of a grind it out type of game. But just with the way the Titans are playing right now, everything, all three phases really seem to be clicking strongly. So I give them the edge by a hair there.
All right, great job there. And you said it. It is a very big game for both teams. You know, the Raiders are looking to bounce back after two very, embarrassing performances here, and coming back home, and like you said, there's a lot on the line here with the wild card, and as the Titans are trying to keep pace with the Texans in that lead for the trying to catch up with them for the division. But Eric, thank you very much for joining us. You did a great job here tonight. Thanks for joining me, and enjoy the game on Sunday.
Thanks, appreciate it.
All right, great spot there with Eric Bacharach from the Tennessean. I do appreciate you, Eric, for hopping on. I was scrambling to find a guest this week, I finally got in touch with Eric, and on short notice, he agreed to do this interview with me tonight. So I do appreciate you, Eric. All right, Raider fans, that is going to do it for this week's edition of Just Pod Baby with Evan Grote. I appreciate all of you tuning in each week and giving us a shot. Make sure you hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so yet. And also, leave us a review and a rating. Let me know how I'm doing, how I can improve, and what you like about the show. Hope everyone enjoys the game on Sunday, and I hope everyone has a great week. And as always, just win, baby.